Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
I'll tell you what, this is special, having Brian Billick with us again. Great having him, Super Bowl winning coach for the Ravens. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen.
We're great to have you. By the way, are you living out west? Are you in the Baltimore area? Where'd you end up?
Actually, we're back in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
Where my grandkids are. 3 years ago, my wife said, "I'm moving to Columbus with the grandkids. What are you doing?" Well, I guess I'm moving to Columbus, Ohio. But we love it here. It's great being a part of their lives. It's a great city.
Yeah, no, listen, I'm spending a lot more time with grandkids myself there, Brian. I'm with you, and it does seem to dictate where you go and what you do. So let's jump right into it. There's so much going on. By the way, did you stay up and watch Monday Night Football game last night?
I did.
Boy, I'll tell you what, they're killing the coach today in Philadelphia about the end of that game, and I'm really curious. You probably had a chance to see it. 3rd and 3, Atlanta 10, everybody's out of timeouts, 1:46 to play, and they decide to throw a pass. By the way, he catches it. If Barkley catches it, it's a first down, and the game's over. He drops the ball, the clock stops, then they kick it and leave Kirk Cousins too much time to go down the field. What'd you think of the decision by the head coach?
Well, you know, we've talked about this so many times. These decisions are always looked at through the prism of if it works, you're a genius.
Right.
If it doesn't, you're the village idiot. And you're right. We're talking about the difference between him catching the ball or not catching the ball. So in terms of the play that they called, the execution, everything was right up to the point that he dropped the ball. So, you know, from that standpoint, you can see they were doing what they felt they needed to do to get the first down. It was leaving Kirk Cousins too much time. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles are an interesting team. Let's go back to last year. I mean, they were, what, 10-1, 9-1?
They were, right.
Then they play the Niners. They take a 6-0 lead, and then the Niners score every single possession after that. And it seems like the Eagles have never been right since. They only won one game after that. And they just don't seem to have any sync about them. They have confidence, and Jalen Hurts is a very confident quarterback, but it just doesn't seem to translate. They're a hard team to figure out to me.
Yeah, and I got to ask you about another team that you are very familiar with and very close to, and that's your former team. Somebody would told me the Ravens. I thought they were going to win the opener as well, and they could easily be 2-0. What's your take on the Ravens? Are you worried about them at all, or will they get it figured out?
Well, you got to figure. They've got the pedigree. They'll get it figured out. They're a talented team. They played well, all the way up until the end. I mean, Lamar Jackson was fairly efficient. He did throw an interception. As typical, they ran the ball really, really well. And I was the same way, particularly with Vegas coming in on the road. You kind of think, well, yeah, this is a chance for the Ravens to get real healthy. The game kind of played out the way you'd expect with them. They didn't have the time of possession, and they didn't make key stops defensively, which is which is unlike the Ravens. And you got to give the Raiders credit, you know, and Gardner Minshew, you know, that, and then last couple drives, and they did a great job.
Yeah.
When Baltimore had scored and it looked like there was going to be enough separation there, but then they come back and Vegas does and scores the 13 points. The thing that concerns me now is you know, because it's all about, you know, they played very well against Kansas City and by a toe could have been
that's
in
right.
a position to win that game. They've got quite a stretch, you know, going forward now. And in terms of the next three games that they have to play, there's a certain vulnerability there right now that you have to worry about, because they've got to go and play the Cowboys at the Cowboys, who are really hurting right now. They should beat the Cowboys, but it is in Dallas, and they desperately need to come back. They then come home and play the Bills, and then they've got to go on the road and play the Bengals.
Wow.
So the next three games, you know, they have a chance to get really, really healthy and feel good. And, you know, the hard part is when you start 0-2, then you start hearing the mantra.
Yep.
You know, well, 0-team only makes the playoff 11% of the time. And the Ravens have never come back from an 0-2 start to the season and made the playoffs. And I was part of that. It goes back to even the time I was there. So these guys weren't a part of all that history. But that doesn't mean they're not going to constantly hear it. And so you just have to get that win. This is going to be a tough stint for Baltimore, who I think is one of the best teams in the AFC.
Coach, you probably know we're going through down here, the Tua talk. Now with the concussion, everybody's had opinions. It's gotten heated. Everybody's, you know, one way or the other on this, and just gave him this big contract, and now he has another concussion. And when's he coming back? He should retire. What's your take on seeing this latest concussion from Tua Tagovailoa?
Well, as always, injuries are a concern, and when you're talking about concussions, the tough thing about the concussion is that it's not okay if it's a high ankle sprain. Okay, when do you feel like you can go on it? Yeah. When does the doctor sign off on you? And yeah, you're vulnerable to spraining it again. But you kind of work through it, nurture your way through it, and like any injury, it will kind of get stronger. This is an injury that you're going to, you know, after whatever the period of time is, you're going to feel fine. But it doesn't get better. And as we know all the time, the frequency and the likelihood of them does increase. That's got to be a major concern. Now, do you just kind of play through it because you feel good and know I'm going to take the chance and I'm going to be okay? This is a dicey one, and this is a decision only Tua can make. Not the doctors, not the team. How does he feel about it? He's going to want to play, but wherever he gains his counsel, it's hard when you're a young man and you're competitive and to look, you know, 30, 40, 50 years down the road.
That's right.
And wondering what the repercussions are going to be. You can't have that perspective. So I don't know where you gain that perspective.
Coach, I want to ask you about we've been going through the new camp. I call them the new camps, the two-a-days and all the hitting and stuff, Coach, you went through and I went through with Don Shula. It's all gone, and I'm okay with it. You think it's hurt the start of the season, especially? It looks like maybe the offense is a little bit to start the year?
Well, we talk about this every year. I don't think there's any question that and the way they practice now is in the best interest of the players, and it does keep them healthy and fresh. I get that. But at the end of the day, the lack of hitting that you can do, and you getting into hitting shape is very real. You got to get into cardiovascular shape.
Yep.
You got to get into muscular shape for the demands of the game. But you do have to get into hitting shape, and that's a real thing. And I think the lack of that, I think coaches say that all the time, and it's always a concern because as a coach, you only want to hit so much in the preseason and in training camp. I used to my number one job, I felt like during practice, was to watch and see, okay, how much hitting, live reps can we get at the end of practice to finish. The fewer, the better, if your team can get ready with that. But you got to get into hitting shape. And I don't think there's any question that teams early on aren't necessarily in hitting shape.
You know, Brian, it's funny we're talking about this. I was just thinking, so I remember being back home in Northern California and talking to some of the 49er players when they were in Roseville for their camp, and they go, oh, Bill Walsh doesn't, we don't hit. He says if we don't know how to attack. Is that true? Back in the old days when everybody was hitting, they said Bill Walsh wasn't big during camp about guys hitting during practice.
Oh, you go back and look at the way teams are practicing now. And back when Bill, even in San Francisco, and I was with Bill that first year in San Francisco, and then subsequently Bill and I hooked up in terms of writing his legacy book. You look at their practice schedules, it's what we're doing now.
Yeah,
Bill was doing
amazing.
That.
Wow.
Yeah. The no padded practices back to back. Every third practice is a special teams or a pared down practice. You know, Bill truly believed, and he told the coaches every year, you're number one. We got a lot we got to get done. Integrate new players, integrate the offense, find out what we do best, get our players. But job one, your number one job is to get our players to the opener healthy and fresh. And that's a tough balance. But he, you know, they stuck to it. They had a routine. And the players, I think, you know, now you're going back in the day, back when I was with the 49ers briefly as a player. Oh, my God, we had 6 preseason games. We had the rookies in for 2 weeks and beat the hell out of each other for 2 weeks before the veterans even came in. I mean, that was not the right way to do it either.
Yeah. That was the Don Shula way too, man. It was 4 preseason games, and the Saints had a rookie scrimmage and a veteran scrimmage with them, and I was like, oh my God, this is one long camp, man. I can't wait for this thing to start up. So I got to ask you about the Bryce Young. Boy, I'll tell you what, he's getting benched in Carolina. Andy Dalton's going to take over again for somebody. What's your take on the Bryce Young move that Carolina's making to bench him?
Well, it's what they got to do. It's amazing to see, you know, how many times do we talk about, and we've got a good core of young quarterbacks that have come in this year, and it's always about which one, yet we, as we say,
yep,
it's a 50-50 proposition. Well, Bryce Young looks to be on the backside of the 50-50 proposition. You know, you look at that versus C.J. Stroud. Now, there was no reason why Bryce Young, in coming out, you wouldn't have, you know, that would have been a tough choice. C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young, in terms of what you saw and how they can play and the productivity. And here you see C.J. Stroud just flourishing,
right,
and looking great. And Bryce Young just, you know, hadn't figured it out. And it's a tough call. It's a tough call for them in Carolina, because now it's, okay, once again, where do we go from here? And once you've done that, once you've made that move, there's no going back unless you have to. It can't be, you know, I don't know how they're laying it out, but it can be, well, we're going to let him sit and watch a little bit. No, he's seen enough football now. You're basically saying this guy can't play, and you're going to have to move on. And where you go from here is a big, big question.
I leave you with this one, because I haven't talked to you since the kickoff return, the new one. What are your thoughts on where it's headed down the road here?
I'm just old school, I guess. just bring the ball out to the 30, okay? This is – I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't – I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to walk balance between protecting the players once again, and that is a wide open where you can get a lot of injuries, and yet still have the element where maybe you can come up with a big play. You know, to me, it's kind of like being half pregnant. I mean, you either are or you aren't. Either let them play and let this be a play, or don't. And I think that's probably where we're heading, because, I don't know, it just looks screwy to me, and we'll see what the numbers are. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to yield what they think it's going to yield.
Yeah, I agree. We're already starting to see it. Everything's getting kicked out of the back of the end zone at this point, so you're probably onto something. Coach, as you know, our tackle football down here rules year-round. It's unbelievable. I know you're familiar with South Florida and their football, and I'm so glad you're working with X-Tech shoulder pads. They've done great work. Can you tell me the latest on what's going on there?
Yeah, this is our 12th year, you know, and we're in the number one pad in pro football. All the top players, top colleges, SC, Oklahoma, Auburn, Penn State, and it goes on and on and on, all the top high schools. Parents need to get involved. They need to go to X-Tech pads. Look at this pad. You can't look at the pads that your young people are probably wearing right now, which are the old hand-me-downs, you know, and like we always joked about, you know, in the old days, big pads on big guys and little pads on little guys.
Right.
These are basically form-fitted pads that are based on your position, your height, your weight, your injury history. So many things that you have to take into account. It's 100% American-made. People need to go to X-Tech Pads on Instagram or xtechpads.com. Look at the pad. Touch and feel the pad if you can. There's no comparison. Our young people need to be in this pad.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Brian, it sure is great having you again, man. Really appreciate you coming on here, and let's see what happens. It's going to be another fun year in the NFL. Thank you.
We'll do it.
All right, Brian Billick, Super Bowl 35 champion head coach for the Baltimore Ravens. And right now we're going to take a second here, tell you about Chapman Partnership. I love talking about Chapman Partnership, the work they've been doing for the homeless and their two facilities and more than 800 men, women, and children. It's so much more. Sometimes you say homeless, it turns people off like, oh my gosh, what, give them a bite to eat and then they're out in the street. No. That's not what Chapman Partnerships. It's about rehabilitation within 3 to 4 months. With the doctors that donate their time and all the great wraparound services they have. Boy, I tell you what, now more than ever, we need your support, their mission to make them ahead of the class and paving successful pathways for families and individuals experiencing right now homelessness. And it's going on, it's getting worse. And we want to let you know about some of the things that they're doing over there. They really are. Chapman's educational initiatives, including after-school programming, workforce training, life skills workshops, so many things. And then the goal, like I said, within a few months is to help them find a job, find a place to live, and continue to bring more and more people in and rehabilitate them. It just goes on and on. Chapman Partnership just does great work. Dade County ought to be real proud of what they have and the people they have working. Join us today for as little as $50 to create a brighter future for those we serve. So please join me and WQM to show support to one of my favorite charities, really making a difference in our community. Let's help support families and individuals overcoming homelessness at Chapman this fall. Go online to chapmanpartnership.org. You donate your time, donate your money, a combo. You want to get involved in a great cause, chapmanpartnership.org can do it for you.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, it's weather time, brought to you by the DeMesman Andover Law Firm, your accident attorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. It is 81 degrees currently. It says occasional thunderstorms likely to continue through noon today. It looks rainy behind you there, Joe. So we can
go. I want you to know it, man.
Well.
I got a busy day tomorrow, but I.
What'd you book?
I booked a tennis game today. I got a game. I got fresh blood today.
Okay.
Moves very well. Okay. Tough out. Very tough out. Barry's good.
Mm.
He's very, very good, actually. So we'll see.
Okay.
But you're saying it's not looking good on the clay. So.
Nice. He's very good.
He's very good.
Hey, I use that on
by the way,
he likes that.
We got Kyle Crabb's going to join us coming up at about 14 minutes from now, and we'll talk a little bit about the roster as we get set. And I just want to say this, so college football fans, we didn't forget about it. Canes, South Florida Bulls. What do you know the team? It's your team. I know you're going up for the game. I'm not – this team's a lot better, and it's just got different makeup to it. But I got to tell you, I did watch, and I was waiting for it. And for some reason, the South Florida Bulls the last couple years have played Alabama in a really tight game, both home and on the road. They can run it. They got a lot of guys back from last year. They've added some pieces, too. I don't know what their financial situation as far as transfer portal money, but what's your take on what you expect from this game? Now there's no way South Florida Bulls can have the same talent the Miami Hurricanes have.
They don't recruit the same guys, Joe.
Okay, that was a shot at me. You're such an ass clown.
My early take on this would be, if you can find a way to make sure Byron Brown stays in the pocket and does not get loose and make plays.
So he want to run all the time? Is that
he
the
wants
deal?
To run? Yeah, and they're gonna do a lot of design runs and stuff like that. So he's gonna try to get out of the pocket, and that's where he makes plays. The receivers are not particularly great at all.
Game's gonna be almost or is a sellout in Tampa Bay?
They're saying it's gonna be a sellout. Yeah. Now look, there's a lot of Hurricanes fans, I'm sure, that are making the short drive.
No,
over,
it's,
right?
I mean, it's close enough. You're talking three
so
and a half.
I don't know
hour,
what the
four
split
hours.
Will be, but I'll be there in my Hurricane shirt doing pregame, man. Looking forward to it. Should be a great game.
So you think it is gonna be a great game?
I do. I think it'll be a very good game. I think you got, I don't know, the two best teams in the state left, right?
You just can't give Central Florida any credit.
The Clown School in Orlando? No, I mean, I don't know. I don't get the Big 12 network or wherever they play, but I do think that this will be a good game. I don't like it's. What is the spread? Like 16.5 or something like that?
Yeah.
I would probably be surprised if Miami won by more than two touchdowns.
So you're talking.
Now, again, with that being said, like, look, with Miami, I don't know how good the Gators are. I don't think the Gators are very good, right? I don't want to take away from their win.
So are you trying to say this might be the best team they've played?
Well, Mario said that, so, I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what I think. I mean, if he says it, right?
Now, I know one thing. Alabama turned the ball over a bunch and had like 12 or 13 penalties.
They did, but if you really watch that game, Byron Brown, again, like, he's not the best passer.
And you're saying he missed some guys?
He missed a bunch of guys. Like, USF could have won that game.
Yeah.
I should have won that game, to be honest with you. Alabama made so many mistakes in that game. Then they go and, you know, wax Wisconsin the next week. But
well, we
someone said sell out at Ray J. Bulls will hang through three quarters. Dangerous game for the U.
Yeah.
Like I do think
by the way, that's,
South Florida will hang for a bit, yes.
That's what everybody's saying, man. Like, hey, don't make mistakes. Don't like start looking ahead to that ACC schedule. That'll be a big, big mistake. And I'm out in the West Coast going, damn. So I'd love to go to that game, go up there and see that.
You want to skip Seattle?
No. No, I want to see what's going to happen there. Can't do both, Woody. I'd love to.
We could charter you out.
UM's headed out to the Bay Area to play the Golden Bears here in a couple weeks. I'd love to see that one. But not rather be up in New England seeing that one. That's a great seat too, man. Great seat to watch the game.
Good food over there, right?
The best. Yeah, by the way, that by itself. I'm skipping breakfast because I'm getting ready to eat at Foxborough. That stuff is.
What do they got, a chowder? A little clam chowder?
I used to get everything, but now I just hit the chowder about four times.
We got to be careful with that other stuff, bro. We can't have a heartburn situation.
No, don't worry. Don't worry about that, man. That's
You ever have that happen, a little heartburn during the broadcast?
I have had that happen. You know what does it? I can tell you, too much drinking the night before mixed with early coffee and nothing on my stomach.
Oh, God.
They hate each other. Coffee and alcohol, for me, hate each other. You know, I saw the doctor. I saw at the emergency room for my at the Cleveland Clinic where I ended up going because I thought I was having the heartburn was so bad. I said, man, it's like I feel it in my back. And they're going, oh, God, we got to get this checked. This is so embarrassing when you find out it's just heartburn. It's so embarrassing. You go in, they're like, it's just heartburn. You're not dying. You're not dying, man. You're okay.
Are you ready for a few quickies?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Someone said 42-14, Miami. That's the same score from the Gator game. Remember?
That's right, yeah. I had the kid on. The kid killed it.
Brad said 42-14. So the guy says, come on, man. They're 17-point favorites. I mean, if you think they're going to win, then you know, by more than that, embed it. I mean, I don't tell people. I can only give my opinion. I think the game will be close.
Now,
does Miami pull away at the end?
I don't know, but I will tell you, they did it to Nick's team the year before, too. What was that score? That thing was like 14-7 or something.
So, like, again, the Alabama score was very, very misleading. And they ended up losing by, like, six touchdowns, but they had a chance to tie the game with six minutes left.
They did score 21 quick points there in the last
When you anger the football gods by, you know, cowardly kicking a field goal there instead of going for the tie, you know, tends to happen.
Man.
Someone said classic trap game for the Canes. This is not a trap game. They're not approaching it that way. Like, you got to go back and listen to what Mario was saying.
No.
They're not approaching this game like it's some sort of like Mario, you know, trap.
And by the way, those players are watching those tapes, and I'm sure he is showing them what they've done to everybody and the Alabama tapes. And they're looking, going, Alabama's as good or better than we are here, and here. Look what happened. Look what happened. So
now you will hear when you listen to that game, you'll hear transfer after transfer after transfer on that USF team.
Everywhere.
From just everywhere, yeah.
It's everywhere.
I guess they're all guys that were disgruntled at, like, you know, the SEC or wherever. And
you get the right guys to come in, and they buy in together. Hey, that team, they look good, man. They're running for a lot of yards a game, too. That will be my big question for this game will be, can they run for a couple hundred yards against the Canes defensive line, which is really good. Good inside, good outside, and two linebackers.
I don't think they will. Now, again, you got to contain the
Maui quarterback. Noah and Bassaint are playing their ass off right now at linebacker. Bassaint has gotten really good out of Central. He is.
The Canes are the better team. There's no question.
Well, nobody's saying it. We're starting at the quarterback, which is the most important position. But if they can't run it, the one nice thing is the Canes got no problem going 2 minute on your ass and just putting everybody out there. And coming up, so
someone asked, "What time is the game?" It's at 7, 3 o'clock pregame. Either with Monroe. Hopefully, the game's at 7. We had a long ass pregame for that Ball State game. Only so long you can pretend like that game's going to be intriguing.
Well, everybody's going to be watching, man. Everybody's. Right?
So they put it on that team.
All right, we gotta go to break here, but we are gonna have a lot more on the game, and we'll have some college guests coming on tomorrow, and we'll talk more about the Canes matchup. It's really weird to say. South Florida Bulls are pretty good.
The Bulls are back. Yeah.
They're back.
Yeah,
Not playing Central Florida, though. Well, how'd you get rid of that game? I thought that was a rivalry game. How are you not playing each other?
I don't know, man. I'm not involved in the politics up there anymore. They didn't consult me on that one.
They didn't check with you? All right.
As one of the prominent alums, they did not for some reason.
Nobody. That's amazing. That it's amazing it didn't happen. All right.
Like you with Cal.
Nobody checks with me there. You don't give money, nobody checks with you. Hey, right now I want to talk to you about Baptist Health South Florida before we get to my main man, Kyle Krabs, host of Locked on Fins podcast, coming up here in just a minute. But let's talk about injuries, because we've been doing a lot of that recently. You can't mention the NFL, and as Coach Mike McDaniel says, there's one thing for sure. 100% of the time, everybody will get injured at some point. Baptist Health South Florida says that's fine because we got great doctors. We know how to get you healthy. We take care of a lot of the teams. Yes, people ask me, where do the pros go? And I go, well, Inter Miami, the Miami Heat, the Florida Panthers, the Miami Dolphins, FIU, FAU, a lot of high school, college, and professional athletes, not just here in town, but from around the country for second opinion or to get their surgeries. They come to see the specialist at Baptist Health South Florida. Their sports medicine program is top dog, man. Top 50 in the country. Knee, shoulder, foot and ankle, hand, back, hip and knee replacement, Achilles. These specialists, they've gone out two, three for each part of the body to make sure you're seeing the best doctors and having great results. Baptist Health South Florida also wants to let you know the three facilities I talk about, and I know Baptist Health is everywhere, but when it comes to your injuries and getting you healthy, Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, Hard Rock Stadium, the practice facility right next to it, a gorgeous little place over there. And the new facility on 595 in Pine Island in Plantation. We call that Dr. Swartzen territory up there. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho. One go every day for everybody out there that's active, playing team sports or individual sports. It's about getting you healthy as quickly as possible, playing the sports you love the most.
It is time to head back out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Kyle Krabs, the host of Locked on Fins podcast, joins us. He called me the other day to see how I was doing. And I said, well, I'm not doing great, Kyle. How you doing? I mean, we weren't doing great. But, Kyle, it's nice to have you, man. How you doing today?
Anytime I can chat with Joe Rose. It's a good day. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great. Hey, Tyler Huntley comes in as the backup. Did that surprise you to start with off the practice squad with the Ravens?
No. I think he's he had made the move to Cleveland this year. They loaded up on quarterbacks and felt like it was a numbers game for him to not make their roster in the first place. He's got some nice playing experience. Brings a little bit of a different dynamic to the Dolphins quarterback room that I think you like in a backup. I think most backup quarterbacks are chaos merchants to some degree by trade, because we've got some skills that plays can break down. We can make some stuff happen, but the execution of stuff on a down-by-down basis is a little bit more in question. And I think you look at Tyler and his resume in Baltimore, and that's kind of what he's been. But I like the playing experience. He's a South Florida native. He can move and get off his spot. He's got a nice arm. I like his tape when he played in college. So yeah. I'm not sure how much of a runway we're going to get him onboarded and see him run this offense versus if he has to play a watered-down version of the offense that tries to just take advantage of the speed with some speed at quarterback. But that's yet another unknown that we have over the course of the next couple of weeks.
So let's get into the big one, and that is Skylar Thompson's our starting quarterback against Seattle. And can you run everything, in your opinion, that Skylar's got the big arm? Can he run the same offense, or will they have to do some different things compared to Tua and what he does compared to Skylar physically?
So I think he's been in the system long enough where, at least versus when he played in 2022, you really felt like they need to water it down, and they didn't necessarily do that. You had a lot of operational issues with the offense. I think that kind of stuff will be better. But I think he sees the field differently than Tua. I think his ball handling and the quick trigger, all of that's different than Tua. So, yeah, I don't think this is going to be a one-for-one where you call everything exactly the same. I think that can maybe be to the benefit of some of the other players on the team to just kind of get back to basics a little bit. You know, this is We're pushing the limits of the offense. It's such a finely tuned process. And you got guys that weren't on the team 5 days before the season started running critical routes in a divisional matchup in week two, and they're running the wrong routes and you're throwing picks.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily know that it's a bad thing to just, hey, let's get back to basics, because there's been some good foundational stuff that they've been able to put on the field, I think particularly in the run game.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you got a quarterback that's a backup quarterback, you got a deep stable of running backs at your disposal, I'd love to see them lean into that, because I thought that was some of the best things that they've done over the first 2 weeks, is getting two tight ends on the field running, whether it's their zone stuff or their gap stuff between the tackles. They've had a lot of really nice runs, and they had a couple other explosive runs that were called back for penalties too.
Have you been surprised on how much Devon Achane, who is, has been the heavy lifter so far with 32 carries and 14 receptions, and Mike comes out and says, hey, I'm going to keep it rolling with him if I have to, because he's been really good.
Yeah, certainly a little surprised. He's not your prototypical bell cow back type of build at the running back position, but that's just one of those things. He did that from time to time at Texas A&M, too. It was the LSU game his last year. He had 38 touches or something like that. So he's shown the ability and flashed the ability to do that in spurts. I would just be careful not to put too big of a workload on him.
Yeah.
Because he's not a prototypical bell cow back that should be taking 40 hits on a game-by-game basis. And you have these other guys that have been impactful. And obviously, you didn't have Raheem in week two, so I understand it to that degree. And Jalen Wright getting his feet wet for the first time. But if he's going to be your primary ball carrier, I think that's great. But I don't know that I'd be signing them up for 35 touches every single game, just because I worry about what that means long-term throughout the season.
If Teron Armstead can't play, and I don't know what the problem is right now, how serious it is, but you've got to go back again with Kendall Lamb. I don't think you can give Patrick Paul in this road and everything else his first start, can you?
I think playing in Seattle is a tough ask, just like I think throwing him in there in the second half when Teron went out against Buffalo with the score being what it was would have been a very difficult ask. Kendall's an experienced player. He played well here last year. You brought him back with the understanding he'd be your swing tackle, so I'm totally fine with running with Kendall Lamb. Let Kendall prepare this week like he's the starter, and if Teron can't go, then you feel good about what you have there. And I think it'd be smart to be a little selective with where Patrick Paul gets his first reps. But look, if we're going to be focused on running the ball, how about we do some six offensive line type stuff and get Patrick out there and get some reps as a run blocker and
yeah.
Start that process a little bit. I think things like that, little things you can get him out there other than just on your field goal extra point type situations, might not be the worst thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we saw how it worked for Buffalo with the extra offensive alignment in the running game. So I've been getting this all week. I wanted to get your take on, is Zach Sealer and Calais Campbell not a problem? Both really good. Calais Campbell, though, we got to keep an eye on snaps at age 38. But everybody, you tell me, Benito Jones, Brandon Peely, and Deshaun Hand, how have they played?
I don't think you've had a lot of opportunities to see the nose tackles out there collecting reps. And maybe I think those guys are both ideally nose tackles. So are you rostering two nose tackles to not play two nose tackles? And if that's the case, maybe you need to consider getting another rotational guy that can play in the B gap. I think Deshaun Hand, I thought he had some nice moments against Jacksonville. He's obviously taking a triple team on the explosive run after a turnover on downs where Jalen Waddle falls down in a 10-point ball game in the first half. It's hard to blame him too much for that individual rep. But, I think there is a pretty clear divide between the top two guys in Sealer and Campbell and the rest of the group right now. And I think some of that's been hurt by structurally what the Dolphins are doing defensively is not having a lot of three interior down linemen on the field at the same time.
And that's something you should know before in off season, that let's get on the same page how we're going to use guys and get the right guys or no. Am I missing something?
I think some of that can be circumstantial, but yeah, I think there's certainly a fair question to ask about And maybe they feel Brandon Peely has more of an upside to play in other spots. I certainly don't think you should be expecting anything from Benito Jones with just his athletic profile and his skill set and his build. He's a nose tackle through and through. But some of the 53 rosters decisions at the beginning of the year felt like they were playing off of long-term and short-term decisions. We don't want to expose guys to waivers that we really want.
Yeah.
That happened to them last year with a couple of guys that got plucked. One of those guys who scored a touchdown for the Cardinals in week two against the Rams. So, like, you're juggling all this stuff, but I do think it's maybe a little fair to sit here and ask about asset allocation if Brandon Peely is predominantly going to be an A-gap defender and a nose tackle, and you've got Benito Jones, and you're carrying two guys that do the same thing, and you're not really doing any of that in the first 2 weeks, what does that say? And I don't know a better time to have a nose tackle out there than when you're catching six offensive linemen on the field with the jumbo sets that the Bills ring.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, it will be interesting what Mike comes up with for Skylar Thompson in this offense to more ball control. And by the way, we would agree, though, it's still about getting Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle the ball, right? I mean, and I don't mean behind the line of scrimmage. I'm talking down the field, correct? Set up big plays still?
Yeah, I think it maybe looks a little different. It's maybe not as – and I'm we'll see what they ultimately end up actually deciding to do. But I thought I would love to see Miami run some more of their 22 packages, which is two backs and two tight ends. And those could be two running backs. It can be Alec Ingold. But that really heavy formation stuff, and then you have a receiver on the field, and you're kind of naturally set up with some of the structures there with two tight ends and a fullback hypothetically on the field to take some play-action shot plays. But you have to be committed to running the ball out of those groups first. And you've seen Waddle be the receiver on the field with two backs and two tight ends, and it is one of the formations where the Dolphins can naturally, regardless of the speed that you have at wide receiver, even if there's only one out there,
yeah,
get all those hats down into the box. So I think from a passing game perspective, yes, you want to take your selective shots with your speed guys down the field, but what does it look like? I think it's probably a little different, or I would think logic dictates it looks a little different. Maybe it's not as high volume, but it is still your chance for games or plays that break a game open because yeah, you're hitting explosives down the field.
So let me ask you, we haven't gotten anything out of a third true wide receiver. Is Eric Ezekama, if he's close and he comes back, does he, in your mind, jump right behind Hill and Waddle as the third guy once he's ready?
I think there's a chance because he's played in the system that could happen. It looked like he had a little momentum building midway through the preseason, and they got hurt again and ended up in a boot. I can see him absorbing the role back from Grant Dubose, who had a really critical error on the third and long that was a perfect throw in the hole in zone coverage that led to the first interception that they had on Thursday night. Mistakes like that will be hard to miss, but you watch the rest of that game and what Grant Dubose did. And he did a lot of the things that you thought you were going to see from Ezekama based off of 2023, which is we'll do some stuff in motion. We're going to get your momentum into a blocker, ask you to serve as the point man on some perimeter screen type stuff. So I think there is a bit of a parallel with what those guys can do. It's just a question of who do they trust more to give you more options with what assignments they can trust you to.
So in the big picture now, week three, everybody knows the quarterback situation, and we're going to have to move on here and start talking about Skylar here at some point because he's going to be the starting quarterback in Seattle for your first road game. And I'm just curious, what's your take after two games and how you feel? Because it looks like teams kind of gotten off to a slow start here. They're 1-1, but had to have a great comeback and a couple of tremendous plays to do it at the end of the third quarter against Jacksonville. What's your overall view of this team right now?
Yeah, I think they're leaving a lot of meat on the bone, and I think they're kind of figuring out their identity through trial and error. And I think they need to get back to basics a little bit. And hopefully some of the unfortunate circumstances around the team right now can help spur that, because I don't think you watch them run the ball. You watch their ability to run the ball. You watch their ability to win matchups inside and outside, and they've diversified the run game with some more power concepts and gap schemes. There's stuff to work with there. Are you going to hang your hat on it, or are you going to sit here and say, hey, we've got 100 rushing yards at halftime, but by golly, we got to get 10 and 17 the football,
yeah,
even if they're still playing
good point
drop 7 coverage and they're playing everybody on the second level at 12 yards of depth and the safety's over the top and their cover 2 looks are playing at 25 yards of depth. Yeah. Mm. So they got to get a feel for how this year's group yeah. works. And I think if you didn't deal with the injury to Tua, I would be able to say, hey, you know, you had a guy fell down on your fourth down call for a turnover on downs. You had 2 interceptions where guys ran the wrong routes. One bounced off the guy's shoulder, and if he'd have looked for the ball, it would have hit him in the face. It just wasn't your night. And I know nobody wants to hear that against Buffalo, but I think there was some elements of that that's like, yeah, man, the ball just didn't bounce your way, man. It's a long season. Let's get back on the horse. But now because of the Tua injury, there's this whole other element and storyline that we have yeah. to see the team work their way through.
Yeah. No, good stuff. Hey, by the way, a little scouting report. Did you check out that spread that your friends had on that tailgating party? Did you see what the chef did out there? That was the greatest tease job I've ever seen. It almost got me an hour before the game to tell those guys I was going to miss like 35 to 40 minutes to go down there. That was impressive.
So I think what needs to happen next time, Joe, is
I need you. I need you to just grab me and we're going. That's what I need.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I know I'll do my 111th if you do yours, and we'll get down there next time they have one.
Man, that's the greatest teaser of all time. That was fantastic. All right. Hey, thank you so much, Kyle. Appreciate it, man. Thanks as always.
Thanks, Joe. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Kyle Krabs, the host of Locked On Fence podcast right now. Want to talk to you about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Man, oh, my gosh. Still getting it done for everybody out there. Nobody's going to outwork him. There's a reason he's been successful for 33 years right here in South Florida. Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage got some great programs. Matter of fact, wants everybody to know the reverse mortgage, still one of the most popular mortgages we have. If you and your spouse are 62 or older, you qualify. And I bet you could use all that equity in your home. Like a lot of older people, we live in that same house, we pay it off, we're sitting there and going, man, I'm not really where I was hoping to be towards getting closer to retirement. And you got all that equity you'd love to have. The reverse mortgage might be absolutely perfect for you and still have a place to live, man. Not bad at all. Great two-way place to go. Hey, first-time homebuyer rates. Fixed rates in the fives. He's got a plan for you. Self-employed and been declined by the banks? Michael Kotze's got a program for you. He's doing it for everybody. Go to Google Reviews on the web, Choice Mortgage Reviews. Find out what people are saying about Michael Kotze. This guy works, man, but more than just works. He gets it done for in half the time of the big banks. Look, he has no life. I don't mean to be mean to Michael Kotze. I like him, but he really has no life. This guy is always working 7 days a week. Call or text him. Find out for yourself. 561-441-2730. That's 561-441-2730. MLS 166254. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.